Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We're the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.
Hi guys, I'm Bree.
And I'm Allie. This is Off Script.
If you think about it, books are potential scripts for movies.
When this adaptation happens, typically it's disappointing because they went off script.
In this series, we will be talking about how off script they went.
Hello
and welcome
to Off Script,
a podcast
where we compare books to their movies.
And today we cry.
Just a little bit. Not a lot.
No. I'm Allie.
And I'm not a dog.
No.
I'm Bree.
And those dogs are two rooms away, and that's how loud they are.
Hilarious.
But anyways, we are going to talk about, spoiler alert, the hero dies.
A.K.A.
Spoiler alert. I think that's such a cool name for a book.
Like, it's really like, I would love if a fiction book was titled that too. You know?
That would be cool.
Mm-hmm. Then I would know that's my kind of book. I always want the hero to die.
I just want to know. Don't break my heart. Just tell me. Let me prepare. Oh, you got a picture?
You want me to tell all about my fun weekend?
Yes. Tell me about your fun weekend.
You already know. I was making joke.
Oh, and it's asking just if the Loki thing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that what we do?
I don't know. You want that or my weekend?
Oh, your weekend's way better.
I mean, I guess I didn't have to deal with it. Now everybody's going to be like, what happened to Loki?
Okay.
And we've given up like,
I know.
This whole season is pet updates.
And then, okay. That's why I was like, I don't really need to do that one. But I guess I do. Everyone, so Loki, literally in a week, will be 8 months. So he's still a baby. He has never been sick in his whole 7 months of being alive. And the poor baby got sick this weekend. And it started Friday night. I was playing video games with my cousins and John. And next thing I know, he's throwing up. Which, honestly, if I had the forethought and knew this was about to happen, I wish I had a video of it because it was the fucking funniest thing ever. Because he's never thrown up before, so he doesn't know what it is. So the second he starts doing it, it hit the floor and it scared him. So he jumped so high and went backwards at the same time as he's still puking. So the first pile that I had to clean up was this long line from him freaking out. And then he like ran over, had to puke some more, but got even more scared. Like, oh my God, it's following me.
Oh my gosh.
It was the funniest thing, but I was also like, oh my God, my cat is sick. But then he proceeded to throw up. He puked like 7 times that night in the span of 3 hours. I was like, holy shit. I've never had a cat puke that much in 3 hours. Mm. Like something is up. But then I cleared out his food. I washed his water dish. I just basically was trying to make him feel better. And I gave him like ice cubes to drink instead of full water or whatever. Mm-hmm. The next day, he seemed better. He wasn't puking, but then he started to have diarrhea. Sorry, everyone. Such a lovely picture to paint. Which, you know, we figured that would be the case because he barely was eating, barely drinking. He probably still had something gross in his tummy, so it was time to get it out. But literally, like, the first night, I was up until 2 crying on the phone with John. I ended up calling the emergency vet to be like, hey, these are his symptoms. What should I do? And, like, she went through different questions that would have been like, you absolutely need to get here right now. And she was like, nah, he's fine. Just monitor him. Make sure that he's okay. And here's the signs to look for if things get worse. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, I can watch for those. It's like, if he's lethargic, not acting like himself, stops eating or drinking. And then, of course, if there's blood in his stool.
Right.
So, of course, let me get there. Anyways. Yeah. So then yesterday, he, again, was fine. He seemed to have a little bit more energy. He was messing around and playing around and stuff. Totally fine. His poops were still not solid. And, like, he, like, hasn't been eating much lately, but John is very logical about this and was like, Bree, if we are sick, it takes us a little bit to get back to where we, you know, 100%. And I was like, I guess that makes sense. I guess it's just, he's my little fat ass. So the fact that he's not eating a lot worries me. But today, well, actually last night, we gave him a scoop of dry food, which normally I do 3 scoops, and all this weekend it's just been 1 scoop and he hasn't been eating it. Yeah. But last night we gave him a scoop, and when we woke up, he had eaten probably like 3/4 of it. So I was like, okay, this is looking better. And then we fed him when I left for work. We did a scoop and a half. And when I got home, he had probably like a half scoop left. So he ate a full scoop. So I was like, okay, this is a good sign. And then I fed him his wet food, and he ate all of that tonight, which this is the first time he's even touched his wet food since he got sick. Okay. So good sign. Right. But here's, because I didn't tell you the full reason why the bathroom today freaked me out. So it wasn't like in the middle of the night. It was kind of in the morning. We woke up to him going to the bathroom. This dude doesn't know how to cover his shit. So he will sit there and scrape the walls for 20 minutes and it will wake you up as you hear his claws on the wall of his.
Oh my gosh.
So we woke up, knew he went to the bathroom. I was like, I bet it's poop because I can smell it. I'll check it in the morning. And when I woke up, sure enough, it was diarrhea. And I was like, okay. Like, everything leading up to this, I had been feeling really good about his recovery. But then this, I was like, this still makes me sad. Well, when I got home, I looked in the litter box to see if he had gone to the bathroom, because I just wanted to see, hey, do we have solid poop yet? And that's when I realized that the poop from last night had like the tiniest little bit of blood in it. Like, I don't know how I missed it this morning, but I looked and I was like, what the fuck? And I like pulled it out and cleaned the litter box. And on top of that, he did not pee all day. So I was like, those are like two, he's dying signs.
Oh my gosh.
So of course I've got John on the phone and I'm like, oh my God. And he's like, what? Cause this whole time I thought it was really sweet because John was not here when Loki got sick the first night. And so, but he was on our Discord call to play video games. And I was like, guys, I have to go for a second. My cat just got sick. And John immediately was like, what? Is he okay? And like, aww. I just like ran to clean and I hear him like, Bree, is Loki okay? Yeah. And then I get back on and I'm like, he's fine. It's his first time puking. So he's kind of spooked. And he was like, okay, but is there blood in the puke? Is this happening? Did he have enough water today? What's different? Like, went into cat dad mode of what's going on. So of course I go, oh my God, and start freaking out. And he's like, Bree, what? So I tell him, and he's lucky enough to get a picture of the poop.
Right.
But then he went through ChatGPT. And of course, at first, ChatGPT is like, you need to get to the emergency vet right now. But it just does, like, you know, it doesn't take all of the information. So it's right. just the immediate, like, here's what this looks like. And he's not peeing. But then John, like, gave it all of the details at the weekend. And it was like, oh, he sounds like he's on the mend. It sounds like he's going to be fine. And his body's just, it's at the end. And he's had a very irritating last couple of days for his intestines. And that's where the blood came from. And if more blood is in his poop in the next few days, then take him in. But what I don't like is the fact that, you know, we're going on a trip in the next few days.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I know. Because I'm in charge of this little guy.
I honestly think he'll be fine. And honestly, first, my mom has him first, right? So
yeah,
she's got him for the weekend. And I think if anything crazy were to happen, it would be on her watch first.
Yeah, that's true.
And she would see it and be like, she would most likely be like, Allie, I'm taking care of this cat this whole week. Or she would be like, he's at the vet. This
yeah.
is what we do.
Okay. So, well, make sure you yeah. leave me like his vet info and all that.
Well, Allie, here's what's fucking stressing me the fuck out. I don't have a vet for him yet.
Okay.
I've never taken him to a vet. But there's the Tacoma Animal Hospital, literally right on Center Street.
Okay.
And when I called the emergency vet, she told me, she was like, emergency vets are very costly. And yeah. like, if you want to bring him in to run tests and stuff, you can, but it's gonna be pricey.
Right.
But there's these two vets right on Center Street who are open, and they're urgent care, basically, for cats and dogs.
Oh.
And they're cheaper. Yeah.
Get me that info because my dogs eat chicken bones and electrocute themselves.
You might need it too. So in all honesty, especially since it's literally right there, I'll just tell you, take him to that one. Because I've seen that one when I've, like, literally when I drive home from work and I get off on 16 right there, I always see it. And I'm like, okay, that's really good for me to know. And then she told me that, and I was like, that's where I go.
That's your vet.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's just
write that down for me.
Yeah, I will. Okay. I will. I told John when this happened, I literally was like, I almost want to just get him into the vet just to like have him established somewhere.
Yeah.
Rather than just like, I have no vet. Take care of my cats while I'm gone.
But right.
He should be fine. I'm not like, I am much more calm about this than I was.
Good.
But, you know, it's still, he is my first pet. And so, you know, things like this are spooky.
Yes.
So, yes. That was my weekend.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You want to hear the funniest things that came from this weekend?
Yeah, tell me.
While we were taking care of Loki, this weekend it got said how spoiled he is. Cause like my mom gave me her old cat tree. So we now have two cat trees for Loki, and John will blow money on him left and right. And I also blow money on him left and right. And then we talked about Christmas or something, and John was like, every day for him is Christmas. I'm not getting him Christmas gifts. And I was like, well, sorry, I am. And then I looked at him and I was like, are you going to be mad when I throw him a birthday party? And he looked at me and he was like, no, that's fine. I was like, good. I'm going to invite Allie and her kids and my mom. And he was like, yeah, that's okay. I was like, yes, having a birthday party for Loki. And then I think you're about to be shocked.
Okay.
Because we started, he said, he was like, you know, all my dogs in heaven are probably looking down at me with a cat going, what the fuck, dude? And I was like, or not, but maybe you just need to get a dog soon. And he was like, yeah, maybe. And I was like, in 6 months. And he goes, yeah, I think we could do that.
Oh, man.
I was like, hold on. I get a dog in 6 months now, too? This is great. And then he was because he's a German Shepherd fan. I'm a Husky fan. Mm-hmm. He was like, we can't just get a Husky. And I was like, come on, but Huskies are my favorite. We need a Husky. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you picked the cat. I get to pick the dog. And I was like, okay, that's fair. But just know that at some point we will end up with a second dog that is a Husky. Mm-hmm. And then John was like, there's got to be a compromise. We can compromise on this. What if we get a German Shepherd Husky mix? There you go. I was like, yes, please.
I'll be on the search for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Please point them out to us.
Okay, we'll do. Oh, gosh. All right. Well, that was a good picture. Thanks. I think it's only fitting that almost every episode we've had a pet update for our pet picture.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. I had a feeling tonight it was going to end up being that for our picture. But I was like, God damn, we just seem like crazy. Oh, should I? Here, I will tell everyone too. I carved my pumpkin to be Loki as Loki.
Yes. So cute. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got the drawing from PAX and then we turned it into a pumpkin carving.
Love it.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. And then I made him pose with me for a picture.
It was very cute. Hated it.
Thanks. It was very cute. He was not having it.
That's awesome.
I thought you were going to say, I think it's only fitting that that's our picture since our trigger warnings is dying from cancer.
Well, I mean, I wasn't going to say that.
I was like, I don't think he has cancer and I hope he doesn't.
No, he does not. Don't put that into the universe. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Oh my gosh. Yes, that is our trigger warning. We have main character die from cancer. So this was a
spoiler alert. Hero dies.
Yes. Tough read. Okay. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So our synopsis is the story of Michael. Oh, how do you say his last name?
Asiello.
Asiello and Kit Cohen's relationship, which takes a tragic turn when Cohen is diagnosed with terminal cancer.
Sad.
Yeah. So we have our author, Michael Asiello, and director, Michael Showalter.
Mm-hmm.
And screenplay was David Marshall Grant and Dan Savage.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Our book came out September 12th, 2017, and our movie December 2nd, 2022. That's 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do first?
I read the book first.
I watched it first.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we've done that, what do you think?
It's such a sad story. I just feel so sad for him.
I know. I agree. I know. The whole time I was reading it, I was just thinking. So when Riley and I went to Bridges, which is like the support group thing for kids that lost their parents, they have the kids are just in one group, whereas the adults get divided into like sudden death or terminal death. And that's all I just kept thinking about. This one was like all these parents that they actually went through this and all the people that go through this. It was just awful.
Yeah. It's really sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But we did it.
Good read. Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. Yes, I really enjoyed
it. And watch. Yes. Okay. And why did we pick it? Why did you do this to us?
I've wanted to watch the movie for a really long time. And then last year I picked it as one of the movies for work and I had quite a few residents tell me that they really enjoyed the movie and they thanked me for playing it. Oh, so then I was like, well, shit, I gotta read this and watch it.
Yeah, for sure. It was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, I have some super fun facts for you.
Oh, also, I guess I should say, because there's a scene where they celebrate Christmas and I'm pretty positive. Didn't this come out? You have it. Yeah, it came out in December. So my head just automatically is like, it's a Christmas movie.
Yeah, the poster is them under a tree.
Yes. So I really thought it was going to be more central to Christmas, but it's really not. But oh, well.
OK, so let's do this. So my fun facts. In a December 2022 article for Daily Beast, Kevin Fallon reported that in Michael Asiello's capacity as a TV reporter for publications including TV Guide, TV Entertainment Weekly, TV Line. Oziello had interviewed Jim Parsons several times over the years that Parsons starred on The Big Bang Theory. When Oziello's source memoir revealed in 2017, Oziello asked Parsons to moderate a Los Angeles Q&A session on it. And when Parsons read the book to prepare for the panel, his husband, Todd Spiwak, found him sobbing in the living room. Spiwak suggested to Parsons that if he had such a strong emotional reaction to the story, he should option it for the movies, which is what they ended up doing together. Both Parsons and Spiwak are producers.
Wow, that's amazing. I just got goosebumps.
I know, it makes me feel bad that I recast him.
Wow. Rude.
I know, I feel really bad now. Oh, man. Oh, well.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. All right. So the cozy restaurant they refer to on their first date is located on 51st and Broadway. It is now closed.
Aw.
So sad. Jim Parsons bought out screenings in his hometown of Houston, Texas to encourage audiences to come see the film.
Wow.
Yeah, he really was deep into this one.
Yeah, damn. Mm-hmm. Wow, and you just cut him right out.
I know. He could still produce it.
Oh, wow.
I know. Oh, my gosh. One day we're going to get famous people on our podcast, and I'll be like, they're going to go back and listen to all these.
I recast you. I'm sorry.
Number four. Bill Irwin was friends with Robin Williams, and both appeared in Popeye, and Sally Fields co-starred with Williams and Mrs. Telfer. Oh, yeah. This is one of them that had almost no fun facts. So I'm what the heck does that have to do with anything? Because I had no fun facts.
Just the fact that she plays Kit's mom,
I guess. And they are related by Robin Williams, and he's not even in the movie. What the heck?
Well, isn't Bill Irwin, is Bill Irwin in this?
He better be. Otherwise, what the heck type of fun fact is this? Bill Irwin is born in Sonia.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He plays the dad.
Okay. There you go. Mm-hmm. Oh, so the dad and the mom are related by
Robin Williams.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's so fun. Okay.
Allie's making fun of her own fun facts. I
know. Michael Oziello granted the production team his late husband Kit's cameras, his photographic art, and Michael's real-life Smurf collection to decorate the entrance sets. So all that stuff is really theirs. That's cool.
Oh, that's sweet, actually. Yeah. I like that a lot.
I do, too. Mm. Okie dokie.
Okay.
Ready?
I just want to start off by first saying, literally the second I started it, because I knew Kit was going to die, I just started sobbing, like literally the second he started talking about how they first met and how he was so in love. I was like, Kit dies. And then also an off script thing. First off, the book is a nonfiction book. Whereas the movie, yes, it follows the same storyline, but obviously it's a bit more fictionalized. So there's our biggest difference.
Yep. Agreed. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's see how well they did, shall we?
Let's.
Michael and Kit are on a date. Actually, you start. I feel like the date comes in later.
Oh, yeah, because they meet at the bar. Michael's friend is encouraging him to go out to the bars with him. And he's like, I don't want to go. I don't go to those. I'm never going to find anyone there. Then he goes. And lo and behold, he finds someone. And he starts kind of flirting with him. But the guy's friend is basically cock blocking and pulls him away. And then they still end up talking later. And then he goes on the dance floor and dances with Kit. And the rest is history.
Yes. So the book kicks off with Michael and Kit on a date, and they're really vibing, and they get a flashback to how they met in a bar. So here we go. Mm-hmm. And they were dancing together, and they went back to their own friend groups. Mm-hmm. And then we go back to the date. So this is a lot. This book has a lot of flashbacks in it. So, but now we're back to the date, and they went to Kit's apartment, and Michael's very self-conscious because he used to be 250 pounds. So he's like, a lot of flabby skin that he's uncomfortable with. So Michael went kind of snooped around the apartment because he's like trying to figure out who Kit is. And we find out that Kit's roommate, Kirby, is very messy, but Kit is very tidy.
Kit's roommate is not a mess. Their place is like immaculately clean.
Mm-hmm.
But the rest of that does happen.
Yeah. And then like Kirby, I guess, is a guy in the book and the
thank you. Mm-hmm. But a chick in the movie, a chick who doesn't talk much, whereas in the book they're basically buddies.
I think it's actually opposite. In,
oh, are they?
Like they at the beginning they don't really talk in the movie, but then they become buddies. Yeah. Whereas they never become buddies in the book.
I thought they were. Oh, you're right. He was just basically some dude that was
living there.
Dirty.
Yeah. Dirty old man.
Gross.
So it's 12 years later. Michael and Kit went and did this birthday weekend with a couple of friends. And on their way there, they told their friends that they are currently not living together. And that this was their this first was a big issue because Michael had thought that Kit was trying to break up with him. But in reality, they were trying to save their relationship. So they went, OK, fine. Their therapist had to explain all this to Michael. And one of the issues that they had had was that Kit smoked pot too much. And now Michael is an alcoholic, basically. And in the end, they basically still do live together. But Kit just has his own apartment that he can go stay at need be. But he's at Michael's house most of the night.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at the start, they did keep their time away from each other, but then they essentially were like, we miss you too much. But also, I still have my space in case I need to go.
It's not the book.
In the movie.
Or movie, yeah.
No, no, that doesn't happen at all. And also their pot and wine thing, it's like mentioned maybe once, but it's never like a thing that's like, ooh, this is breaking the relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it's really like, I feel like Michael's wine thing really becomes more apparent after Kit has his cancer diagnosis too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They also didn't do it on a birthday.
They did it at Christmas.
Did it at Christmas. Yep. But they're like in a very awkward, like they don't know if they should talk to each other type of
broke like up. Basically. In the movie, what happens is they're at this Christmas dinner. They're hosting it together. So everyone thinks they're still together. And they're like, we're kind of not together right now. Like in the movie, it wasn't a we're not broken up thing. It was a we're on a break. We're taking a second for each other. And then as they're leaving the party, that's when Kit like goes to clean up and he like winces. And Michael's like, what's wrong? And then he's like, oh, don't worry about it. I'm going to be going to the doctor here soon. Mm-hmm. So that's essentially what kicks off all the cancer stuff. But that's not the case here.
No. So in the book, they're at Michael's birthday vacation thing. And they went to Atlantic City. And he ended up winning like $700. Michael did because Kit was having stomach issues. So he was asleep upstairs. So he went upstairs and was like, oh my gosh, we won. But they went to dinner, but he was still having some stomach issues, but they're not really making a big deal of it. They go and they do this whole birthday weekend thing. And he's shifting in his seat during dinner a whole lot. And this continued on Michael's actual birthday. When they get back, he agreed he would go to the doctor because something just didn't feel right.
Yeah, that's like I said, he was very aware that something was up and he was the one being like, I'm going to go to the doctor. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. And then Michael was like, let me know what gets said. Because in the movie, it's very much they have to make the tension a little bit more than what was in the book, right? It has to be that whole like, oh my God, are they together or not?
Exactly. Yeah. It turns out there's a growth in his rectum and the doctors said it could be 100 things. So he's getting a biopsy on Friday and like, don't worry about it. Michael, we get a flashback that he loved his mom. Like she was like his favorite person in the world, but she ended up dying of throat cancer, which is why Kit's biopsy is freaking him out so much. And then we learn all about their cat, Mr. Scooch. And how Kit taught him to go to the bathroom in the actual toilet, but that ended up backfiring because Mr. Scooch hated it.
First off, this is a travesty. Mr. Scooch is not in the movie.
I know, at all.
I was so pissed. I was like, not even a cat's in the background for me to be like, well, at least he's there.
I when, know.
God damn, that cat was a big part of the story.
It was.
I was so mad. It got to the part where he should have been there. And I was like, the cat is not there. And I liked how the movie showed Michael's like childhood flashbacks. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was hilarious. It was definitely a nod to Jim Parsons.
Yeah.
Being Michael, because they ended up, the flashbacks were all sitcom style. Mm-hmm. But also, Michael, you learn a lot about Michael in reading this book. Like, it's really the story all about Kit and his relationship.
Yeah.
But you find out like how much he loves sitcoms and the different sitcoms he likes and all of the movies that he's into and all of the like interviews that he's done and the things that he was nervous about and things like that too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that was a clever way to be able to slide that in, pay homage to Jim and tell the story of like, oh, his mom died from throat cancer. Here's why he's freaking out right now.
Uh-huh. I agree. They did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
So Kit had to do his at-home enema to prepare for the biopsy, and it took about an hour. He had to do two enemas. So each one took about an hour because they're so painful. And they went to the doctor and he had his procedure, and doctor came to talk to Michael about how they are concerned. And it took another half hour before Michael could go see Kit. And it ended up with Michael telling him that let's go home and get high together.
This part pretty much doesn't happen. There's no at home enemas. There's no him in pain for 2 hours in the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the doctors go straight into work. Well, actually, a lot of the doctors in the movie were like, oh, this is manageable. Oh, this is manageable. Because in the book, there's like two of them that were like, I think we can do this. And then the last one was like, okay, here's the deal. This is what's happening. Whereas in the movie, it was like they let you believe that everything was going to be okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael is now going to church just to pray, and he's praying like every day for Kit to be okay, except for Wednesdays because he had to do a Kristen Bell interview. And Thursday he got a phone call from, and we learn all about this Kristen Bell interview, and it was really cute because like he goes into detail. I don't go into detail, but he's like, when I say he did a Kristen Bell interview, we have a whole chapter basically on him and doing this interview. It was cute. Mm-hmm. Lee written.
Mm-hmm. Especially because he's a fan of Gossip Girl and she herself is Gossip Girl. So,
oh, yeah, yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just little things.
Is like she?
That. Yeah, she's the XOXO.
I didn't know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's Gossip Girl.
So that Thursday, Michael gets a phone call from Kit and the doctors let him know what the tumor is. And he's like, there's a 70% remission rate. We're okay. It's all right. Michael did research, though, and found out. No, he heard something wrong because it's very negative things about this tumor. And pretty much all agree that there's about a year to live with this cancer. And they get together and they chat. And Michael couldn't tell him the bad news, though. So he's like, I don't want to be the one to tell you. So they just like, he's like, yeah, I looked it up. It's just this new type of cancer. They don't know a lot about it, which was true.
In the movie, they always go to the doctors together. There's never this, like, they're going separate.
So the boys had always been okay with not getting married, but Michael decided he needs a silver lining in all of this. So he proposed by putting a ring in a Starbucks Danish wrapper. And that day they had an appointment to speak with specialists about the tumor. Michael looked up the best doctors for this cancer, and they had a meeting with four of them. The first doctor seemed very ancient and like slow to answer questions and like, oh my gosh, why are we here? And Kit finally had to repeat information that was in his file as if the doctor didn't even look at it. And finally he let them know they don't need to be worried because it's not great news because it's cancer, but it's not terminal. It's very treatable with new technology. And they felt this weight lifted off of them.
I was so mad that they didn't do the proposal right.
I was too.
It's so dumb. They do the proposal at a different scene that happens in the book, but it also is very different in the movie, not only because that's the proposal, but just like they're basically on their apartment patio. And the whole reason they were on their apartment patio in the book was because Kit was wanting to make a catio for Mr. Scooch.
I know.
And so you take out the cat, you can't do the catio. Anyway, so they're just outside on the porch getting high together. And then Kit turns to him and is like, hey, we should get married.
Right.
And I was like, Kit, it's not supposed to be you.
I know. What the heck?
Uh-huh. I was mad.
Yeah. So in the book, we get this flashback where they're on their second date and they went to an art gallery. And Michael felt very out of his element, but it turns out Kit always brings second dates there to see how they do. So it was kind of like a little joke and they were laughing about it, which I think happened.
Yeah, it did, actually. I forgot about that. You're right.
All right. So now we have an even further flashback to Michael's childhood and how overweight he was. And after, or a year after his mom died, he decided this was not acceptable anymore. And so that's when his weight loss journey began, which I don't think we ever find out really about.
He brings it up when they first go to have sex, but that's it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. We never find out when he decides.
Exactly. I think there is a flashback scene of him, of his mom basically like giving him a shit ton of food too, but there's never a like, this is when I decided.
So now we have flash forward. They're about a month into dating and things are getting a little saucy, and he decided to go, he was shirtless and he was not ashamed of himself because he felt comfortable with Kit. And so they started living together and calling each other their boyfriends. And one day Kit totally yelled and snapped at Michael when he was leaving. And he called Michael later and he didn't even realize he did anything until Michael got mad. He's like, you yelled at me this morning. And he apologized. He's like, I'm sorry, I have morning Tourette's. It's just where I yell before 10 a.m. because I'm so tired. I resonated with that.
That part doesn't happen in the movie.
It does not. So they're good after that. And Michael let the readers know little fun facts about each other. And for example, Mike has a crazy Smurf collection.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was hilarious.
Yes. So they did another oncology appointment. This doctor was friends with the previous doctor they talked to, and it was like ancient. And he gave them the same news, basically like, yeah, you know, it's not good. It's cancer, but it's not awful because we can fix it. And Michael's thinking about putting in prenups of their marriage because is Kit going to be okay one day? And what if he divorces him and all this sort of stuff? And then he feels really guilty about even thinking that. And then they went to the third doctor, which the original surgeon, when they first had the biopsy, had suggested. This one had bad news and said that it is really aggressive cancer and we got to throw everything we have at it. But we're confident if you fight it, you'll win. And they went to the facility where he would be getting treatment, and all they had were chairs. And they're like, he literally has a like golf ball size tumor. Actually, I think it was bigger than a golf ball. And he cannot sit. Like, he needs a bed. And they were like, yeah, we can't do that. So they went out and they cried and they just took pictures of each other at this restaurant, all sad.
Yeah, this happens in the movie. And there's a huge, I thought it was hilarious because Michael sits there and yells and like slams his hand on the desk and is like, my husband needs a bed. Mm-hmm. And then Kit came up and was like, husband.
Right. He's like, I thought it would be more dramatic because this was before they even brought up wedding.
Yeah. And at this point, too, they still don't know if they're together.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Mm-hmm.
In the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So they went to go pick up their wedding rings and they didn't have the right size ready. Like, what the heck? How? Like, what?
I know. That's insane.
Your rings are here, but oh, we got the wrong size for both of you. What the? Anyways. So they gave them loaner rings that they would trade back when their rings were ready. And Kit's like, no, we can't get married with rings that we have to return. And I 100% agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it was the right way to do it. This is not a part of the movie.
No, it was so cute, too.
Mm-hmm. I know.
So Kit spends extra time getting ready that morning because it's their wedding day. But instead of using the loaner rings, they After return, they found some spider rings that they had won in an arcade a while back. And at first, they got to the oncology appointment. They had to go do that first. Their fourth one, so they haven't been to this one yet. And it's this beautiful pavilion area. And the doctor came out, and she's gorgeous. And first, she did an exam, because now he has masses in his lungs and liver now. And then
he's an alien.
Multiple livers. And then she gave him not good news. She's like, it's stage four and you have about a year left. Kit was devastated and they took a moment to cry. And when he calmed down, they made a plan to start treatment Monday. But I'm like, if this was me, I'd be like, well, why do three of the four doctors not agree with you? Like, what?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
I would be like, hold up here. What's really happening?
Yeah. Yeah. For real. I probably would have gone and gotten a few more.
Yeah.
Opinions. But yeah. Yeah. I agree. And also in the movie, I thought it was weird because Kit, throughout this whole thing in the book, he seemed very light about it all. Like, it didn't hit him hard until like towards the end when it was like, okay, there's no turning back. Like, mm-hmm. this is it. Whereas in the movie, the second they had their appointment with this doctor, Kit excused himself to go cry in her bathroom that's connected to her office.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sad.
It was sad.
They made it to the courthouse to get married. And after they got to this window, they find out they need a special license because they want to get married that day. So their friend Nina is their witness, and they have to run across the street to the judicial building, and they're interrupting a TV filming. And they are like, whatever. They Kit plays the cancer card, and they get in, and they get the waiver that they need. And they go back and got married with their spider rings and their personal vows, and it was just such a sweet ceremony. And then they cried and they walked home together.
Yeah, the ceremony is just a regular old, like, they do run down to City Hall, but that's it. There's no, like, fanfare about it. They, like, grabbed people, didn't tell them what they were doing, and just went and got married.
Yeah, they did interrupt a filming, but I didn't realize what was going on until I read the book.
That's hilarious. I just knew because I had read the book.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I guess it was kind of obvious that they were interrupting a filming, but it was like,
mm-hmm.
I was like, that's the most random thing ever, because they don't make mention of it at all. Whereas in the mm-hmm. book, they explain what the heck was happening.
What it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they decide it's time to tell Kit's parents. Michael absolutely loves his parents. And so on the way to tell his parents, they stop at Kit's work, and his work gave them the get well soon presents and wedding presents and he let them know that he'd be out for a while longer. And this was just like killing Kit because he loved his job. And I don't even remember what he did.
He was essentially a interior designer style person who helps people order things for their house.
Oh, okay. So, mm-hmm. they were trying to figure out what to tell Kit's parents. They decided they're just going to say it's new and they don't know a lot. And it ended up being obviously a very emotional weekend.
This happened before the wedding because I'm pretty sure his parents were his parents weren't at the wedding, but they told the parents about the cancer before because they got married in the movie basically when Kit was dying.
Yeah.
I mean, they get married when Kit's dying in the book too, but they do it early on in his diagnosis in the book, whereas in the movie, it's pretty much like, it's almost literally like the next day he is weak, can't move, frail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty much. So Michael wants to make Facebook posts about their wedding and his diagnosis because he had a friend that his wife was going through cancer and he made updates on Facebook and it seemed to help him. So Michael wanted to do that as well. And at first Kit was against it, but then he agreed and it turned out to be a good thing. They named this tumor the Lurker because he got this little figurine from Comic-Con called the Lurker. And he found this middle finger figurine from a dollar store that he found like whiles back and he put them together. Yeah.
You didn't say how much of a thrifter he is.
Oh, he's
Kit was a huge time thrifter.
Yes.
And that's why he found this middle finger figurine
at the dollar store. And so he puts it behind the lurker. So it's flipping off the cancer. And so they go to Kit's appointment and they're given a chair, which makes Michael flip out. And eventually he got them their bed.
Michael got Kit the bed at his first doctor thing in the movie that we already talked about. And Michael makes one Facebook post in the movie about everything. And they don't do the Comic-Con lurker figurine. No.
How cute is that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel like there was a scene where Kit flipped off cancer in some way.
Maybe.
But I can't remember how they did it. But it was not in this way.
Nope. So then we get this flashback of Michael's Smurf collection, how it began, and that he collected hundreds of them and displayed them all around his apartment. After Kit got the initial shock, it was kind of an awkward moment, and Michael thought Kit was going to break up with him. Time went on, and it was almost Christmas, and Kit said he needs to see him. And it was not a breakup, but I want to let this truth unfold. I was with someone, and I feel guilty. And so Michael was upset at first, but then he was so glad that they weren't breaking up. I'd be like, no.
I am shocked. I do not think that I could have it in me to forgive someone who cheated on me.
No. Yeah. Same.
So
that's all I would think about.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. If we were together, like, oh.
Are you doing it still?
Yeah.
Why or did like, you do it in the first place? You
here, blah, blah, blah. It's like, that would be so weird.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the movie, he just flat out tells him this while they're in the Smurf room. I felt like that was awkward.
That was awkward. So now, present day. Kit has been, present day in the story. Kit has been going through chemo and it's been taking a big toll. At one point, he was like in immense pain in the shower. He is very constipated and Michael was not going to go to a movie screening that he was really excited about. But Kit made him go, like, you still need a life, go. And Michael also runs his own entertainment company, and it's been 3 weeks of chemo and Kit's hair is finally falling out, but he's having a good day now. Like, time went on and he's back to having a good day, and a bunch of fencing came, and this is when he built their little catio, and now Mr. Mm-hmm. Scooch can go on the deck with them and lay out on the mats.
Mm-hmm. That does not happen.
Neither
does the movie screening. Yeah, the chemo happens and it's taking his toll and he starts losing his hair, but that's it.
Yeah. So they got word that chemotherapy is not working. They've been going to couples therapy now for 9 years, and they started after Kit's second infidelity. So he had another one. Absolutely love their therapist. And this time he agreed to make a house call. He was crying too because he saw how much love they had throughout their whole relationship. Like, he's been in their lives for 9 years, and he is so sad about Kit's prognosis that Kit made him promise that he would see Michael even after he passed, and they all end with them crying and a butterfly flew in the room, and they all thought that was like such a sweet little sign.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this doesn't happen in the movie. There's no therapy.
No,
actually there is therapy at the very start. But that's it.
Yeah. So he ended up going and doing radiation therapy now, and it is working, and he finally feels like himself again.
This doesn't happen in the movie?
No. So Michael is planning a trip for Kit, and he really wanted to go on vacation at a beach. He invited his mom and dad, and they were trying to figure out where to go. And then he remembered this pink hotel, which is where his mom's last vacation was before she died of cancer, which was not why he did it. He just remembered that he loved this vacation that they did. And he looked it up, and sure enough, it's still available, and it's there. And the only weekend all summer it was available was the weekend that they wanted to go on vacation. I thought, oh my gosh. I remember I listened to this part when I was on my way to your house and my mouth just dropped. I was like, oh. So sweet. Oh my
That's hilarious.
I don't know.
All of them are lounging around, and Michael starts videotaping Kit, and Kit introduces his parents and then blows bubbles and is taking pictures of it. And it's one of the most favorite videos that Michael has left, and they were able to get a couple more trips in that summer, luckily. So that wasn't their last trip.
Mm-hmm. In the movie, they go on a trip with Kit's parents, but that's it.
I think the whole thing was the same, other than the pink hotel. I don't think it was a pink hotel.
Yeah.
They did the video. They did the bubbles.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the boys were hanging out, watching TV, waiting for a phone call from Dr. Davis. She had not good news for them. There is now cancer on his brain as well. They went out on the deck and chatted, and Kit admitted to cheating on Michael with Todd, he works with. So he's cheated for 3 times now. Oh, my goodness. And they continued to talk and get things off their chest. And one thing Kit made Michael promise is that he wouldn't die in a hospital bed. And then Michael asks to smoke some pot. And Michael had no idea what he was doing, but ended up getting the giggles and enjoying it with his husband.
Yeah, I don't know how he could find out that he got cheated on 3 times and be so like, well, you're dying, so I'm going to be here for you anyway. I would still be pissed.
What the
I'd be like, what the fuck?
Again?
Yeah.
Dude, after time 2, I'd for sure be out.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, what? So this is the part where they smoke on the patio thing. That's not a catio.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kit proposes here.
Mm-hmm.
And he does tell him that he cheated because Michael's like, can you tell me one thing? Did you sleep with this guy from your work? And he's like,
Sebastian.
Yeah, there you go. Thank you. I was like, it's not Todd.
It's not Todd. No. So we have flashback. 2 months into dating, Kit gets appendicitis and his phone is about to die. So he asked Michael to call his parents because he's going into surgery. And Michael did and spoke to his dad and then later got to the hospital and he found out Kit was okay. And his real name is Christopher, though. And his mom called and she's very snippy and worried about her boy. And she scared Michael. And they also didn't know that Kit was gay. So that was a fun thing. Yeah, so then we have more of a flashback to their first Christmas together. And Michael got Kit this vintage magic set, which he loves so much. And then he told Michael he loved him. And Michael said it back. And then Kit got Michael a place in his closet with this nameplate and everything.
Cute.
And yep. And then back to the appendicitis. Kit asked Michael to basically go de-gay his apartment. And he's over there like really worried about Kirby. Like he's knocking on the door and he's like, oh, this weirdo's gonna hate me. And Kirby ended up being fine. And Michael took everything they could possibly be gay out of the apartment because his mom was coming over. And then Michael went to the hospital and his mom was already there. And it's very awkward meeting her. And they rode back to Kit's place together and Kit promised Michael he would have a talk with her. Michael left and the next day Kit called and Michael said that the deed's done and she knows who you are, but she had already gone back home.
What's funny is I feel like if a dude is there at the hospital with someone, if anyone is at the hospital with someone, there's someone important. I wouldn't just think it's like a friend, right? Unless it was like a best friend that you had already met. So the whole time I'm like reading and watching, especially he's like, can you run to my house to go fetch me this?
Yeah.
So that he could really go and de-gay the apartment. I'm like, like if you were at the hospital with me, I wouldn't be like, hey, Allie, can you go grab this for me from my apartment?
Right.
I would be like, John, get this for me. Or mom, dad, get this for me.
Right. I don't know. I found this like weird. This just like the book made sense. Because she never questioned it. But mom in the movie was like, who are you? What are you doing? Like, what? Like,
yeah.
Like, but
why
like,
are you here?
Angry. Like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, clearly he's here because your son wants him to be here. So he's someone important in your life. Even if he was just a friend, like
her son wanted him there.
Yeah. He's allowed to have friends you don't know about, too. Like, I don't know. That's just weird.
Well, I think it's because they wanted more drama with the, the parents don't know.
Yeah, definitely was it. That's what it was. But
and yeah, but then they get to the apartment and Kit just tells them, hey, Michael's my boyfriend, right there in front of Michael.
Yeah, pretty much. So Kit ended up having to be hospitalized due to needing a catheter, and it was much better. He even had Michael start having people come visit him, and Kit asked what they're going to do about their tree this year, because they had a flashback to a Christmas tree debacle that they had.
A Christmas tree.
Christmas tree. Kit is super excited for Christmas this year, and he wants a really awesome tree. And they decide to buy a fake tree, and he's so excited for it. And then all of a sudden, he starts having these memory issues. And one day, he can't even remember who Michael is. Some point, he comes through, though, and he's doing better with his memory, and they decorate this tree. And the doctors decide that to stop radiation and chemo, because he's not going to beat it. So let him enjoy his last few weeks. Michael decides not to put this extra dose of morphine pill in his pill concoction. And he starts bouncing back, and he calls the doctors excited, which she replies, this is the calm before the storm, basically. And as of right now, though, he's just got to enjoy this time with his husband. And he's also noticed he's lost 14 pounds since stopping drinking wine a few weeks ago.
They do decorate the tree, but only in the flashback. And none of that happens.
No, I did like, though, how when he calls, he's like, he's bouncing back. He's better. My first thought was Sloan in Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
And then he said it. Yes. He's like, I know, I've seen Grey's Anatomy, that heartbreaking scene when Sloane bounces back. I was like, see?
That scene crushed me in college. Oh my God. I was sobbing when I thought he was dying, and then they brought him back. I was like, oh good, he's fine. And then they killed him, and I was like, those fuckers.
I know.
I boycotted Grey's for a while.
I believe it. That was the worst. Like that and O'Malley, those two deaths were the worst.
O'Malley.
Oh, and Lexi. Oh my gosh, I cried at Lexi too. But I mean, that was a joint one with Sloane. That's why.
No, I was more sad about Sloane than Lexi. I never liked him and Lexi together.
Are you serious? Oh my gosh. Yeah. I love them together.
I loved Mark, and I wanted so much better for him. I did.
So life is. Or Mike, where are we at? Okay, Michael wanted Kit to see the funeral video that he had made. What kind of special, weird thing, right? And so he was able to do it. He got it done in time. His friends helped edit it and everything, and Kit was able to watch it.
That did not happen in the movie.
Nope. Life was getting really hard for Kit. He was getting more and more symptoms, and he was not doing well. Now he had night fidgeting, so he just couldn't sleep at all. And so they had the hospice nurse on speed dial, but unfortunately, all the issues happened at night, so it wasn't his regular nurse. And finally, Michael decided to get him into the hospital, but he stressed to the hospice nurse, the EMTs have to bring a lay-down stretcher, but it would be really hard because their apartment stairs are insane. Well, they didn't listen, and they did not bring a lay-down stretcher, and it was horrendous getting him down the stairs to the hospital. But once he was in the hospital, he did feel better, and he fought off a UTI, and it was just like he started feeling better. So Michael was happy about his decision, but mortified of how it happened. He was able to have some visitors, and one of those visitors Michael allowed was Todd. Todd was crying and said thank you for letting him visit him, and Michael walked him to the elevator, and finally they were able to go home, and Michael occurred RuPaul's Drag Race in advance season premiere so that they could watch it together because he has the power.
I think you meant procured.
What did I say? Ocured? Yeah,
procured.
Ocured.
So this part doesn't really happen. They do watch RuPaul's Drag Race in the movie when he starts to get bad with his parents. And then basically when he's in the hospital dying, Sebastian does get to come say goodbye.
Better than I could do. There's no way.
Yeah, no, he, no way in fuck would any of the dudes you've been sleeping with come to say goodbye.
Get out of here.
You married me now.
I know. Michael's just a better person than we are.
Yeah, God, he really is.
I do. All right, so Kit's not doing great. He's barely getting a couple hundred calories in. His favorite place is this frozen yogurt shop. And so every day, Michael goes down and buys him some frozen yogurt, and he, like, spoon feeds him. He's making really rattly breaths. And finally, Michael calls hospice, and they send a nurse over. She gives them the bad news that he has a couple hours, more or less. They all say their goodbyes, and then Mr. Scooch comes and snuggles for a couple of minutes and leaves, which he has never done. I start sobbing at that part.
Oh, same. I was like, I'm pretty sure that in Dr. Sleep, remember the nursing home, the cat is there to go and say goodbye to the people. I think that's something that some nursing homes actually do, because cats typically can sense when that's about to happen.
It's freaking creepy. Cats are
which is sad. I know. The second he jumped up on the bed, I was like, oh, it's here. Oh, he's coming to say goodbye.
It's so sad.
Yeah. This part does not happen, everyone. Nope. It's just Michael and his parents sitting there.
Was he at home? Because it looked like a hospital to me.
He was in this weird, like... To me, it seemed like one of those places where they help with assisted suicide.
That's what it looked like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was not home.
That's what I thought. Mm-hmm. Okay, so within a couple minutes, Kit passed. And after all the crying and the goodbyes, Michael decided he wanted to get him dressed before sending him off. And as he did, he reminisced on all the injuries because he saw bruises and everything under him due to treatment. And then his friend came over and was... basically as close as like a sister to Kit, and they broke out laughing because Michael had put his shoes on the wrong feet. And we get the whole little paragraph where it's like, oh my gosh, his feet must have swelled up during treatment because I can't put his shoes on. It was because he was shoving them on the wrong feet.
Yeah, that part doesn't happen in the movie.
Nope. So they went to Kit's other apartment to clean it out so they could stop paying rent on it. And it was this wave of emotions that they had family and friends come help them. And Kit's best friend, Jen, and her husband, Bill, were among them. And Michael found all the love notes he had ever written Kit. And we get a flashback to this garage sale that they had done and how Kit wanted to sell fonts that he had written, but he never did. And then we get... that flashback because one of the notes said something, or he found something that talked about his fonts. And so that was a cute little flashback. And then the very last thing they had to get rid of was this bag of sex toys. And they're like, I can't figure out what to do with it. I just don't want to throw it away, but what do we do? And so one of them's like, well, why don't we donate that to Salvation Army too? And that's what they did. And they like were laughing as they dropped it off.
They didn't do this in the movie either.
No, that would have been so funny.
I know. Instead, it's just Michael still having a relationship with Kit's parents and going on a run with Kit's mom. And they have this real, like, emotional talk about, like, how do you get through life now?
So then we get February 14th. They held the memorial service for Kit in New York. And the eulogy, the whole eulogy is in the book. And it was a very sweet eulogy. And
it was
They went the next day and had a memorial service in Kit's hometown. And the plan was to spread the ashes then, but the weather did not cooperate. So 5 or so months later, they went back and he spread the ashes, and they spread them in a river where years and years before Kit had told him that's what he would want to do if he died, like before Michael did. Mm-hmm. And Michael also tossed his wedding ring in. I thought that was bananas. I could not even imagine.
Same. I was like, dude, what? That's your piece of him.
I know. Like, I was like, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah. When he said that, I was like, were you even married?
I know. My gosh.
That doesn't happen in the movie. No.
So then we get this like flash forward thing. I don't even know what it is. So it's Kit and Michael running a store and it's Christmas Eve and they like run this antique furniture store and there's this huge Smurf collection for sale and everything. And after the store closes, they take their dog, Mr. Jibs, and they walk down the street hand in hand.
That's hilarious. I'm pretty sure this chapter starts with, if you were here, this is what I imagine we would be doing.
Is that what it says? Because I must have missed that because I was like, I was waiting for something like that. I was like, I know he died. Like, I know that's not a like psych moment, but I could not figure out what the heck this was. I was like, why? Like, what is it? Where's the, this was a dream I had situation, but it never told me unless it did. And I just totally missed it.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure the start of that chapter says that.
Okay. That makes me feel better then, because I was like, what the heck?
You're like, this makes absolutely no sense. Yes. That doesn't happen. Instead, in the movie, we find out because this whole time, oh, that's fucking hilarious. I didn't say that because this whole time they've been in New York, but now he's going to LA to become a reporter.
Oh, yep.
But aren't they in LA in the book? Because he's a reporter?
I'm pretty sure they are.
Yeah. There's a difference.
There's one. Yep. Okay. All right. That's it.
We did it.
Mm-hmm. And so now we have some cast. So we have 37 people cast for this movie. Jim Parsons.
That's actually a lot.
Yeah, it is. Jim Parsons plays Michael Asiello.
I liked him. So you go ahead and recast, Allie.
I will. Let me find out what his name is. I recast David Bertka, Neil Patrick Harris's husband.
Oh.
That's who I imagined.
Okay.
So
I knew it was Jim. I didn't watch the movie first, but I knew it was Jim. So I just kept picturing Jim. So then when I saw an actual picture of Michael Asiello, I was like, oh, wow. You guys look very different.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. So I think that's why. Because I didn't see a picture of him before. Maybe I did see a picture of him beforehand. Yeah, maybe that's why. Because what's his name looks more like him than this guy does.
That makes sense. Don't worry. I imagined someone else for Kit.
Oh, okay. There we go. Let's do it. So Kit.
How'd you feel about Kit?
I liked Kit. Ben Aldridge was Kit. I liked him.
For some reason in my head, I had this image of Edgar Ramirez as Kit when I was reading it. Don't know why.
Okay.
I haven't watched anything he's in lately. I just, that was who I pictured as Kit almost immediately.
Okay.
I was like, all right, with glasses? Sure, you're Kit.
There we go. Okay, cool. Sorry, main people, we recast you.
Yeah, God. Sorry, dude. R.I.P.
Oh, no. All right, we have Brody Caines was young Michael in the sitcom.
Yeah, he did good.
He was good.
He almost looked exactly like Jim.
Yep. We have Tara Summers as Mrs. Asiello, his mom.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, she did.
She did good, too.
Sally Fields played Kit's mom.
She was good.
I love her.
She's good in anything she does, though. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And as we said earlier, Bill Irwin played Bob, his dad.
Yeah. He was also good. I loved the second he found out his son was gay. He was like automatically like, I love you. No matter
I know.
What.
It was so sweet. Mm-hmm. And I had to put this one in there because I love Anthony Paro. I don't know how to say his last name, but I love Anthony.
What is he from?
Queer Eye. Have you ever watched that show?
Oh, no, I haven't.
Oh, my gosh. I think you should watch that show.
I know I should. I know I love it.
Oh, my gosh. You would love it. So he's the food guy in there.
Oh.
So he does all the, like, teaches everybody how to do meals. Nice. Because you know the premise of it, right?
Isn't it giving someone a glow up?
Yeah. So there's five guys, and each one takes a different element. So, like, someone helps them with fashion. Someone helps them with hair and, like, just making them feel and look better. Someone helps them with food. Someone helps them with like emotional, and then one helps them like their living area. And it's just such...
Oh, damn, I do need to watch it.
You need to watch it. It's just the most wholesome, feel-good show ever. And Anthony, when I saw him on screen...
Excuse you. That's Love on the Spectrum.
No, I mean it. Like, this is this is up there with Love on the Spectrum for wholesome.
Okay.
You gotta watch it.
Okay. Well, we didn't even say that this guy played Sebastian.
Oh, he's Sebastian. Anthony Sebastian, yes. When I saw him on screen, I was like, Anthony!
That's hilarious.
Anyways, is the theme of the book and the movie the same?
Yeah.
Yes, I agree. Do the characters stay true?
Not the mom, but apart from that.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Which one do you prefer?
I prefer the book, 100%.
As well, 100%. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Movie it's was such good,
a good story.
The book was...
There's so much more to the book.
I agree.
And I really like that. I like all the little tidbits.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Would you recommend it to a friend?
100%.
Yes, I agree.
Was that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's all we got for you.
Now it's time for a sneak peek.
Yes. Our last sneak peek of season... No, I guess we do a sneak peek next week. But...
Oh, yeah. I guess that's true, too.
But this is our last, like... sneak peek for season seven.
Mm-hmm, because our next episode is a recap.
What?
Of season seven. Holy fuck,
we're done. This is our last book comparison.
Loki's eating the rest of his food.
Oh, good job, Loki. Good job. Yeah, good kid.
I'm excited. I know. I don't want to be too loud to spook him from it.
Okay, we'll do this part in whisper ASMR style.
Oh yes,
the website.
Yeah, go for it. Okay, it's offscript253.wixsite.com/offscript.
On there, you can rate, subscribe, review, donate,
sign up to do little free library bookmark dropped off.
Yes. You guys, you really, really need to subscribe to us if you listen to us. I know it's really easy just to be like, well, you're already there, and I can just keep listening to you because I've listened to you before. But it really, really helps us if you hit that subscribe button.
If you hit subscribe, it more so shows us to other people who listen to the same stuff as you.
Exactly.
So that would really help.
So do that.
That would be so good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you go. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I also edit for a YouTube channel called Panel by Panel, which also you should go like, subscribe, and review there.
Yes. Wednesday, we might have a mini-sode for you.
Potentially.
We'll see.
Probably. We'll see how I feel.
Yeah.
Well, I guess how we feel.
It's all on break. Monday, we have our recap, as we just said.
Whoa. So exciting.
That's it, y'all. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. With that, spoiler alert.
Went off script.
Bye.
That's so stupid.
Thanks for sticking with us.
We hope you enjoyed it.
If you did, we would greatly appreciate it if you gave us 5 beautiful stars, reviewed, and subscribed.
You can also follow us on Facebook at Offscript, on Instagram at OffscriptPodcast21, and on TikTok at Offscript_pod.
Shout outs to Madam Ashen Creations for our adorable logo art.
And Adam Daniel for our incredible theme song.
And to Creative Cinephile Productions for producing our podcast.
See you next time.
Hi, I'm Serena.
And I'm Rachel.
We are the hosts of Book Tales.
If you like reading books,
drinking cocktails,
and Scottish accents,
then meet your new favourite podcast.
Come with us as we explore different themes from romanticy to horror and everything in between.
We pair each book with a bespoke cocktail and tell you everything you'll need to make one.
And each week, play our fun game tailored to each book.
Find Book Tales wherever you get your podcasts. So grab your book.
Grab your booze.
For Book Tales.